many of you will remember Greta Schenk, who was a part of this congregation just a little more than a year ago. She's currently serving in Cairo, Egypt, through Mennonite Central Committee in a group called SALT, Serving and Learning Together. I've had some electronic correspondence with Greta recently, and on her blog on the internet, she tells a story about how she is trying to learn the language in Egypt. And one way that she does that is by trying to translate children's books into their local language from English. On her blog, she had this story by Robert Munch called I'll Love You Forever, I'll Like You For Always. And I'll read that for you right now. A mother held her new baby and was very slowly rocking him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up, and she rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she would pick up that 9-year-old boy and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes his mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was asleep, she would pick up that great big boy and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as you're living, my baby, you'll be. That teenager grew. He grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and he got a house across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as you're living, my baby, you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older. One day she called up her son and said, you better come see me before I die, because I'm getting too old. So her son came to see her. When he came to the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up. And he rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. He went into the room where his new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly walked, rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you forever. As long as I'm living. My baby. Nobody.
Thank you, Kevin. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 14. Our scripture reading for today comes from verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
Well, it happens every year about this time. The weather turns nice, the birds return, and they start making nests on the underside of our deck. Now, I like birds. Birds are beautiful animals. They're fun to watch. But I just don't like the mess that they leave behind. So I kindly encourage them to build their nest elsewhere. But birds fascinate me. And I believe that they fascinated humankind since the beginning of time. Because we look at birds and we wonder, how can we learn how to fly? And we look at these birds and we realize that perhaps we cannot learn how to fly, but they do teach one another how to fly. Now, when a mother bird has her chicks, the chicks watch the mother, and they learn from her how to fly. They see the mother flying around the nest. They see her swooping and diving and trying to flutter around and hover around as only birds can. The mother teaches the chicks by demonstrating for them how to fly. Now, when it comes time for the birds to stretch their wings and to try out their wings for the first time, there's nothing more that the mother can do for them. The mother can encourage them by perhaps pushing them to the edge of the nest, maybe even pushing them out. But it comes a point when she has taught them everything that she can teach them, and all that's left for them to do is to either fly or fall. Now, we try to think that, oh, it's not that simple. Oh, maybe a large hawk or a vulture or something with big talons. If it was necessary, this bird could swoop down and save her young before they strike the bottom, before they strike the ground. Or perhaps they could fly underneath and save their own child on their backs and fly them back safely into their nest. But if that's what we truly believe happens, then perhaps we're kidding ourselves. Because if they can save their child, it probably rarely happens. There comes that point when they either fly or they fall. Now, aren't we glad that as Christians, that is not the way that Jesus left us? Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples here on earth, teaching them the way of the kingdom of God. But after Jesus demonstrated for them how to live according to the way, he didn't just leave them to fly or fall. Jesus left his followers with helpers, an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And he left us with others as well to help us along the way. Well, today I would like to look at the scripture that Marvin read for us and teach us how we as Christians have this gift of the advocate and how we have the gift of each other as we seek to live according to the way that Jesus demonstrated for us, living accordingly to the kingdom of God. Well, our scripture for today picks right up where last year's scripture left off. Last week's scripture left off. Last week's scripture, we had the story about Jesus having this last meal, the last supper with his disciples. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. He has given them instructions on what they should do after he leaves them. And he has told them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father but through him. And then Jesus comes here in verse 15, and he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus is making some kind of a connection here between loving him and keeping his commandments. We cannot separate the two. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. Jesus isn't saying, "You must follow my commandments, because if you don't, you're going to pay for it." He's not saying, "If you don't follow my commandments, you will be cast into hell and then suffer eternal damnation." Now, it's true there is a penalty for not being obedient to Jesus' commandments, but that's not the motivation that he's given to the disciples here for following him. He's saying, "If you love me, follow my commandments." Now, that all sounds nice and simple. Love Jesus, follow him. But Jesus isn't just going to send his disciples out into the world and say, "You're on your own now." He says, "No. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be difficult for you. So I'm going to send you an advocate. I will petition to my Father that he sends the advocate to you." And an advocate is a friend, a helper. My version says the advocate. Others say counselor, friend, helper, comforter. And this advocate is not just some other human being that is sent to us to guide us along our way as we seek to follow Jesus Christ. This advocate that he is sending to us is to pneuma tas aletheias, the Spirit of Truth. I had to throw a little Greek in there so my family knew I learned something on Sunday. To pneuma tas aletheias, the Spirit of Truth. This is the Holy Spirit that God is going to send to the followers of Jesus Christ to be their advocate, to be their helper, to guide them in the way of Jesus Christ. They are not left alone to discern the way of Jesus, but they have this great helper. So Jesus wants these disciples to love him and to follow his commandments. And he will send this Holy Spirit from God to be their guidance, to be their helper. So now we know why they are to follow his commandments, because of their love for him. How they are to follow his commandments, through the help of the Holy Spirit. But now, why did Jesus give these commandments to start with? Why did he decide that they must follow these rules that he has given to them? Well, the reason Jesus gives these commandments is out of his love for humanity. I think to best illustrate this, I can tell a story from my own childhood. As children growing up, we were not allowed to play with fire. We were prohibited from using lighters, matches, lighting the stove, or doing anything else that we could produce fire with. But we did find ways around this prohibition. I remember very clearly one day when we found a firecracker in the house. And firecrackers aren't much fun if you don't light them. And what are we supposed to do? If we aren't allowed to play with fire, if we aren't allowed to use matches, how do you go about having fun with a firecracker? And this little thing isn't going to be much fun. What do you do with a firecracker unless you are to light? Well, my older brother, who's 4 years older than me, had learned in school that if you take a magnifying glass out into the sun, you can take the sun's rays and concentrate them on a focal point and perhaps start a fire. So we took this firecracker, the three boys, and a magnifying glass, and we went outside to harness the power of the sun to light this firecracker. But when things get quiet around the farm, Mom knows that the boys are up to something. So she came out looking for it. And Mom, do you remember the story? Do you remember where you found us? You don't remember that. We intelligent boys decided that we would try to light this firecracker right next to the natural gas tank. The tank that was connected to our well, connected to our house, and connected to the larger system. Now, the chances that we would actually get that firecracker to light using a magnifying glass were very slim. The chances that we would ignite the firecracker, ignite the natural gas tank, and blow up the house, the tank, the well, and everybody around it were even slimmer. But that rule was in place for a reason. The rule that we not play with fire was there because we as children didn't know all the consequences of our actions. We didn't know what might happen if we did light this firecracker next to the natural gas. We were still pretty young at that time. So we didn't know everything that could have happened. I believe that sometimes, that is why Jesus gives us these rules, gives us these commandments. Because we can't see all the consequences of our actions. That is why Jesus gives us commandments like, love those who persecute you. If you have two coats, give one to someone that has none. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus gives these commandments to his people out of love for his people. Because he knows that we often don't see the consequences of our actions and our choices. So he gives us rules. He gives us guidance so that we can help all of humanity. Because sometimes we just can't see the bigger picture. So Jesus gives commandments out of love for his people. And his people are to follow his commandments out of love for Jesus. And we have the help of the Holy Spirit to discern what is God's good and perfect will. So Jesus sends this advocate so that his disciples will not be left alone. In verse 18 of our scripture for today, he says to them, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In this scripture, we can't say for sure whether he's talking about his resurrection from the dead or whether he's talking about the second coming of Christ when he comes back to the earth or whether he's talking about the sending of the advocate. But the point here is that Jesus loves his followers so much, he loves all the children of the world, that he will not leave them orphaned. He will not leave them alone. He wants to be with them in spirit or in flesh to guide them in the way they should go. And it reminds me of the children's song that we've probably all learned. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I messed that up. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I believe that at nighttime, if we are really asleep, that Jesus comes into our bedrooms, that he holds us in his arms, that he rocks us back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And if we listen, if we really listen, we can still hear him singing, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my children you'll be. That is why Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the counselor, because he loves us. But sometimes that just doesn't seem like enough, does it? This life can be tough. And sometimes it can be hard to hear that advocate, to hear the word that God is trying to speak to us, to discern that voice of the Holy Spirit as we walk this journey that Jesus has provided for us, as we seek to follow His way. And I believe that is why God gave us the gift of each other. As we read these scriptures that we find in the Holy Bible, I think that sometimes our English language does us a disservice because something is lost in the translation. The English word, the second person pronoun, is you. It's the same word in the plural and in the singular. If I wanted to invite an individual, say Glenn, out to lunch today after church, I would say, are you available for lunch today? If I wanted to invite all 50 of you today to lunch, I would say, are you available for lunch today? It's the same word in the singular and in the plural. But in the Greek language, we have different words for singular and plural use. It's kind of like the southern word that we use around here, stretching from Virginia down to Florida. What is the plural for you in the South?
No.
Y'all. Forgive my fake southern accent, but maybe y'all should try reading the Bible sometime, replacing the singular you with y'all. Because more often than not, the you that you find in Scripture refers to y'all. It is a collective group, more than one person. Unless Jesus is speaking directly to an individual person, or somebody else is speaking of an individual person, it is often the y'all form. So read the Scripture sometime, replacing you with y'all. And you come away with a different understanding, a different interpretation of what the Scripture is referring to. Jesus is talking to the collected group here in our Scripture for today. I will not leave y'all abandoned or orphaned. Y'all have each other as well. Jesus is anticipating that the disciples will stay together, to continue to work together, to be a community through which they discern God's will, which they give and receive counsel, and which they keep each other accountable to their actions and to their promises and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the story that I read earlier for you today, so many of us, like this child, grow up and we move away. We move away from our parents. Sometimes just across the street. Sometimes halfway around the world. Now, that's not true for everybody, but I believe that most of us can say that we will never again live as close to our parents as we did during the first 18 years or so of our lives. I moved over 400 miles away from my parents. Some of you have moved much farther than that. But family is very important for us. If family is a place where we learn right from wrong. Family is formative for our belief system. As we grow up, family keeps us accountable for our actions. And we learn in this community. And now that I am living over 400 miles away from my parents, I know that I can still give them a phone call if I have questions about life. I know that I can call my family, my parents, my in-laws, and ask them these difficult questions that I'm having problems with. And they will give me advice, even though we're so far away. But it's good to know that, even though they are available to me, that I have other people that I can go to as well, to seek counsel, to seek accountability, to ask difficult questions. Because I have my church family as well. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God, washed in the Spirit, cleansed in His blood. We are a family. And together we do seek one another's counsel. We do hold each other accountable. And we do seek to discern God's way together as a unit. We work as a collective group, as y'all, rather than just as you and me. Now, growing up, we often celebrated milestones together. We celebrated birthdays. We celebrated holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter together. And now that we've moved further away, it makes it more difficult to celebrate these things together as a family. But as we have become more and more a part of this family, as the church family, we have seen you as a family taking over some of those roles. You haven't replaced my biological family, but you have adopted us into your family. Together we celebrate birthdays. We celebrate Christmas and New Year's and Easter. We celebrate as a family. And we mark milestones together. 70th birthday parties. Or something that I remember clearly. I remember celebrating Joyce's 70th birthday. We can talk about her because she's outside the room right now. And I remember several occasions when we celebrated milestones in my life as well. Together as a congregation, we celebrated my licensing for ministry. Together we celebrated my ordination. And today after this service, we will celebrate my graduation from seminary. I have seen you folks follow me through good times, and I assume that you'll be with me through the bad times as well. We are the family of God. We hold each other accountable. We keep each other company. We are counselors for one another. We are advocates for each other. Now, I know that this is an extremely busy time for everybody here. It's the end of April. Our yards are growing. Our plants need planted. Our flower beds need tended to. The gardens need tilled. We've got this Highland retreat next weekend that people are trying to plan for. In 3 weeks, we have the 50th anniversary of this congregation, and we're trying to clean this place up. Everybody here is busy right now. But you took time to bake something, to come today, to celebrate with me my graduation. And I thank you for that. And through your actions, I can hear you singing, "We'll love you forever. We'll like you for always. As long as we're living, our brother you'll be." Referring one more time to our scripture for today, in verse 20 we can see that Jesus is describing for his disciples this time following his crucifixion. In verse 20 we read, that he says, "On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Well, that sounds pretty confusing to me. What does it mean to be in the Father, have the Father in you, and he in Jesus? It's just rather abstract, I guess. We just can't wrap our minds around this. But what Jesus is saying is that there will be this connection between God the Father, between Jesus, between the disciples, and among the disciples. This connection that is so close that we cannot tell where one stops and the other begins. That we become this larger group, this family of God. It's like the mother the love that a mother has for her child. It's a love so strong that words alone cannot describe it. It's a love so strong that distance cannot separate it. The love between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the disciples, the followers, is like that love. So strong that it cannot be separated. It cannot be torn apart. Now when birds learn to fly, the mother bird teaches her chicks everything she knows by demonstrating it to those chicks. And when it comes time for them to stretch their wings for the first time, she has only one option: to sit back and watch them either fly or fall. Jesus did spend 3 years on this earth in ministry, teaching others how to follow the way that he has set before them. He was an example of how to live according to the kingdom of God. And when his time came to depart, when it came time to leave his disciples, that he would no longer be with them in the flesh, he did not just sit back and say, "It's time for you to either fly or to fall." He said, "I have taught you what I know. I have shown you how the way is. And now I'm going to send you a helper, the advocate, to be with you. And not only that, you will have each other for guidance along the way." I am thankful today for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the direction of the Holy Spirit, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, as I seek to live out what I believe to be the kingdom of God, as I seek to follow the way that Jesus has laid before us. And I am thankful for you as well as a congregation, for the family of God that is here today to love one another, to guide each other in the way that we should go, to provide counsel for one another, to provide guidance and accountability. I am thankful for you all. And I hope that as we continue this relationship in the years to come, that you will continually hear me singing, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my family you'll be." Will you please join me for a word of prayer? Our gracious and loving God, we come before you today as the gathered family of God. Lord, we are here today, guided by the Holy Spirit, and for that we give you thanks. For you did not leave us orphaned when you left this earth in the flesh, but you gave us a helper, an advocate, a friend, and a counselor in the Holy Spirit. And you gave us all those things in each other as well. May we live according to your will. May we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. May we help each other along the way. For it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.